Now let us all, as we come to hear God's word preached, let us pray and ask God's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that friend that Thou hast sent for us, who sticks closer than any brother in this world, for He is Thy Son. His life is everlasting. His power is without limit. His love towards us has no boundaries. And Lord, we pray that this morning our hearts and our minds might be fixed upon Him. And whatever this world may throw at us, whatever storms may come our way, may we be found in Jesus Christ. Bless everyone here. For we do not know what tomorrow will bring forth, but Thy word will still be there tomorrow, and we must face then every trial, every temptation through the promises of Thy word. So bless every soul, we pray, and open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. I want to speak from a passage which we have considered before, and oftentimes it is spoken upon. Oftentimes it is the theme of children's talks as well as in the preaching in the normal services. And I want to speak from these verses, verses 24 to 27 of Matthew chapter 7, on building a right life for eternity. And for you to think about this and for it to hopefully be fixed upon your mind about needing to have a right foundation, I'm sure you know of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I've mentioned this to you before. In Italy, it is a good illustration that brings home to us about what the Scripture tells us here today. Scientists travel each year to that town of Pisa to measure the building's slow descent. It is at a slant. At some point, it will fall down, they would think. It was built in 1173, many, many years ago. And it moves 1/20th of an inch every year. And now it is 17 feet out of plumb. It is at a slant. Pisa means marshy land, and so it you know the what that describes then for us. It gives us a clue. Why is that tower beginning to lean, or as is at a slant? Another reason for that leaning Tower of Pisa and its slant and the future destruction of it is because it is only 10 feet deep in terms of its foundation. The foundation is 10 feet deep. So it is built with little foundation upon a very unstable ground. The passage that we have before us today speaks of the same things. It speaks about two builders who built two houses on two different types of foundations with two different results. So in this parable, which is a pointed story of the two builders, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches some very important lessons. The lessons here, friends, are a matter of life and death. Do you appreciate this? I hope it's not just another sermon to you. Some of you are still unconverted. Some of you, if you were to die today or tomorrow, the best you can say, I don't know where I am going. So I ask you to think carefully about this. This message can transform some of you. This message can bring life to some of you. So pray now, Lord, speak to me. It does matter how and on what foundation you build your life and have your hope. It does matter, especially about your soul. Everything else fades into nothingness. So let's think about this. What kind of a builder are you? All of you are builders. What kind of a builder are you? And what can we observe? What lessons can we take from this account and story that the Lord Jesus Christ gives? And I want to leave before you three things. The first thing is the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a comparison. We want to be comparing builders. The things people have in common. All of us have certain things in common, and these two builders had certain things in common. And so this short parable appears to speak of two very different types of people, and the two people Jesus pictures here have several important characteristics that are in common. They're the same as each other, outwardly. He's preaching to those who have come to hear the message of the gospel. The way that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches to be forgiven of our sins. That's the message of salvation, that He died for our sins. And He preaches that. He taught them the way to be forgiven of their sins and to be given new life in Jesus Christ. And so these people had come to hear this. How can they be right with God? Who is this man who's preaching these things we've not heard before? And He tells this parable in the midst of it to clarify and to enforce the important things of being saved from sin. And so let me point out the comparisons that He makes between these two builders. The builders are the people who seem to be following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, both of them heard the words of Jesus Christ. The two people in this parable, they have this one thing in common, and that is they heard the Lord Jesus Christ sharing with them His message of conversion from unbelief to faith and repentance from sin. And so Jesus Christ says in verses, for example, verse 24 and 26, He speaks about people who are hearing Him. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these words or sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So He says, those who are hearing my words and does them, he believes them and does them, they are like the wise man. And then verse 26, He says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." So both of these groups, they have this thing in common. They both hear. There are people who are hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the picture of the builders are the picture of the hearers. Aren't you hearing? Aren't you hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? So all of us are in this story. This parable is about us. So they both heard the Lord Jesus. They both are referred to here. They're hearing the way of salvation. And there was a reaction from each one of them. Their reaction is important. Are you not in the same place as these builders? Of course we are. Jesus said, they are hearing. So all of us are hearing. We have all this in common. But then, another thing that they have in common is that both are building. Both build houses. So each of these people, these builders, they're building a house based upon their own understanding of what Jesus Christ said. The house in this parable is a picture of life. You're building your life. You are, every day, you're building your life. How many thousands of days has passed? Last week I looked at how many days have I lived in this world. Over 13,000 days I have lived. Some of you I would not dare to mention, but thousands of days. Think about it. Thousands of days we have been alive. And children, you can go home and calculate and add it up.
How many days have I lived? How many building blocks have I in my life? And then ask yourself, in these days, how many of those days I've been building on right foundation? These were both building houses. Life is like a building or a house. Each man built a life based on how they interpreted the message of Jesus Christ. And this means that both people believed the message to a certain point, or they saw certain truths in it. They each applied the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to their life as they saw fit. Some applied it by simply not taking any notice to it. They didn't take it seriously. They thought, well, it has some good moral values. Well, I like the fact that Jesus said to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a good thing. Isn't that a good thing? You tell people about that in the world. They say, well, Jesus Christ taught some wonderful things. So I can put that, fit that in as a building block in my life. But they applied it by not taking it seriously. The things that matters in terms of life and death and eternity about the soul. They were not listening to the gospel message. Or listening to, or they were what they were doing. Yes, listen to Jesus, but also listen to others too. Listen to someone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And then having a mixed sort of life. But both were listening. Both were building. Both were building similar houses. Nothing said about these houses that were being different. The word that is used for house is the same for both. It's no different. They use similar materials, and most likely they had similar design for their houses. You can imagine it in your mind. From the outside, these two homes looked similar. In fact, they were very similar. You might not have been able to tell the difference. The only thing that showed the difference when the storms came. That's the only time that the difference was seen. But both of them seem to be similar outwardly. You go into a housing estate and the government has produced these houses, built these houses. They're all the same color, same windows, same bricks, same layout. All of them are very similar. From the outside, it all looks similar. And people's lives can be very similar. And so here is a picture of people and how they respond differently to the gospel message. They're hearing the word of God, but they're responding in a different way. Now, just to clarify, the gospel is very simple. What is the gospel? What is the essence of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. What is the essence of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You have it, and I hope you memorize it. What's the message of the gospel? When you want to share the message of the gospel with someone, what do you tell them? How do you begin? You could quote the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. It's in a nutshell. And it says this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. It begins with the fact Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is what God has said. And so it tells me that I am a sinner. And Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so the gospel is about the death of the Lord Jesus for our sins, about his burial, it's about his resurrection on the third day. And it's all according to the word of God. That's the message that you must believe, I must believe, to be a true Christian, to be a person whose sins are forgiven. I hope you want your sins to be forgiven. I hope that's your case. So here are people who hear that message, and they react to it differently, in different ways. And regardless of how a person may react to it, they all build their lives based on what they think Jesus is saying, or simply disregarding it. These people all build their houses. You're all building your houses, as it were, your life. Your life is being built. And you're building your houses, spiritually speaking, here, now, today, in Cheltenham. You're building your lives. Your children are building their lives here. You weather the same storms. You work the same kind of jobs. You do the same kind of things. You go to the same kind of shops. And you go to a church like this. You hear the same kind of preaching. And outwardly, someone might come and someone might enter into this building and say, well, they all look similar, well-dressed, well-spoken. They have their Bibles. They seem to be, they all must be Christians. Is that true? And you can ask yourself, am I really a Christian? Am I a child of God? People might think I am because I'm found here. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to. There was a group of people there. Outwardly, they seem to be listening to him. They're following him outwardly. And obviously, these people were religious people. The Lord Jesus didn't have to prove to them that there was God. There was a God, a creator. He spoke to them in spiritual language because they could understand it. They're religious people. They have some sort of a profession of belief. They say, we follow Moses. We follow the law of God. We have the Bible. We are going to our synagogue. We go to the temple. We have our own church. And we go to our own church. We support it. We are responsible citizens. And both seem to be believing the same things and living the same kind of lives. And they have a lot in common, at least on the outside. And so you all look at yourself and you say, well, we have things in common. Boys and girls, you look at yourself and say, well, we have similar things with my friends. So our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this. He gives a comparison of the builders. They hear the gospel, you hear the gospel. They're building their lives, you're building your life. You have similar things outwardly. And we all have similar things outwardly. So in some ways, we are all, we could say, builders. And we are all outwardly seem to be similar. But the second thing I want you to notice is this. The Lord Jesus Christ contrasting of these builders. He then points out the differences between these people. I hope you have your Bibles open and you see it for yourself, how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of these two builders. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the one who is wise in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, I'll come to that, to him later on. But look at verse 26. He speaks of another builder. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, to call someone a foolish person, that is very offensive if I was to call you a fool. But spiritually speaking, you have to ask yourself, am I playing the fool? And here the Lord Jesus gives this contrast. One man is building his house upon the sand. There are people here today building their life upon sand. Let me explain that. One man is building his house with little preparation. To build on sand, you don't need to be prepared much. You all go on the beach. What do you take? Do you go with a lorry? No, you just quickly take some shovels, some buckets, boys and girls, you go, and you build your sandcastles.
You don't go with cement and you don't go with all kinds of things, observing and surveying the land and see where you can establish yourself and so on. No, you just run, as children do, run to the beach and just stop wherever they find and they begin. And building on sand, you don't need to have much preparation. Sand is as well, when you think about it, this man is building on a spot where sand is. It begins to build, but then sand is unstable. It's ever changing. It's ever moving. Sand offers to this builder no stability, but he carries on going, you see. He carries on, even though everybody knows sand is unstable. Everybody knows sand is not a good foundation. But the man carries on building. He carries on. Sand is not a good place to build your house. Sand can never be a firm foundation. But like this man, there are many people who know certain things in life. They know that what they are doing is wrong, but they carry on. And in this context, building on the sand speaks of people who hear the gospel, as you are this morning. You hear the gospel, but instead of believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and coming to faith in Jesus Christ, they carry on in their own way. You build then your life upon a shifting sands of what? Your own ideas. Human philosophy. What you might grab from the media, from the television, from the radio, from the internet. You're reading those things and you think, oh, well, that person is clever. Oh, this person is clever. Oh, this person is making sense. And a lot of things he says is, oh, I find it in the Bible. And there are people like that. I won't name their names, but there are people who make a lot of sense. They say a lot of sensible things. But the issue is, if they're not converted, then really, ultimately, their own life is built upon sand. So be very careful who you listen to, who you hear. But there are people who carry on with their... They're pressurized by people's ideas, their wisdom, their opinion. And also, they're building themselves, their own lives, upon false religious ideas. There are lots of religions in this world, but people can go on and go on in their life without much hope, but they think, well, my parents had this religion. That was me. This is how I was brought up. And so I just carry on. That's just a life. That's just a circle of life. And I just have to carry on. I don't reject my past and so on. And so they carry on building upon the same kind of a thing and a miserable life. There are some people who are driven by the outward things, the religious appearance and faith in themselves rather than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And people who build on the sand, they hear the gospel and they choose to save themselves. Is that what you're trying to do? Boys and girls, do you think to yourself, I just have to try harder, work harder, and then God will be happy with me? But those people who are building upon sand, you see, they don't read their Bibles. And they don't seek to follow what the Bible tells them. You see, their reading of the Bible doesn't save the soul. But to read the Word of God introduces us to the one who does save the soul. And that's Jesus Christ. And so reading the Bible, you must then seek the Savior who is revealed there. And so to those people, the Bible is a closed book. To people who are still building their life on the sand, the Bible doesn't make much sense at all. And they say, well, you can make the Bible say whatever you want. You can have all kinds of interpretations if you wish. And then when they come across certain passages in the Bible, they see God is commanding me to do this. Well, they say, well, I'll obey that if I want to, if they choose to. If it fits their lifestyle and what they want. If they don't like it, then they won't do it. They build the house of their lives on their own self-will, self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, self-righteousness. These are the things that are actually sand.
Is that you, my friend? That was me. Do you know, all of us begin our life on the sand. Every one of us. There is nobody who can say, I was born into this world and I was born a Christian. We can't say that. Every one of us, that's not what the Bible teaches. Every one of us begin on the sand, building and building and building. And people do it because it's easy. It's natural. It requires little effort. Just a little change here, little change there. And you've all done it. I've done it. If I just do this, make this change in my life, in my family's life, then things will go better. And you hope next week, next month. And it carries on. And you look back, years have gone. And I've been building on sand. This thing, the things that I dreamed after, it didn't bring the fruit. You see, a life that is built on sand, it requires no commitment. It requires no sacrifice. It doesn't require any kind of real faith. There is no battle against sin. There is no dying to self. Is that your religion? Because if it is, then it is sandy religion. People who build on sand believe they can pray a prayer. They can be baptized. They can maybe join a church. And all will be well. That's all that there is to it. And Jesus Christ said very clearly here, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. Not everyone says to me, Lord, I have done this in your name, will enter into my heaven. So that's why I'm saying it's a matter of life and death here. It's a serious message for us to take home and into our hearts. Don't build your life then on sand. Don't build your life on false religion and false ideas. Don't build your life on false hopes. Things that you say, well, I can't be really sure about God. Don't build your life on sand. You see, one thing that sand builders like is sand builders like instant result. That's what they like. Instant result. We just need to get this up. I need to build this house. Now I need to build it. There's no preparation involved. I just need to put it up now. Have you ever bought an IKEA set? They say you can build it up yourself, but how many hours has it taken? You think, well, it's only a few things you fit together and you make a bed. It takes you the whole day to make a bed. Isn't it true? I speak from experience. And there are people who think, well, I can do this quickly, efficiently, and it will be fine. And they do that with their soul as well. I want something easy. So I go to the shop, the religious shop that provides it. Easy Christianity, easy religion, instant rewards, instant satisfaction, instant pleasure. And so those people like the heights, but hate the depths. They are hot and then they become cold. The tide is either in or out for them. And so they are up and down. Is your life up and down? If it is up and down, it's because you've been building your life like a sandcastle. And you look away, half an hour later, the sand has been washed away. So I have said these things because I need to stress this important matter. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke severely about this. The second individual that is contrasted is the man who builds his house upon the rock. The rock. In verse 24. And he's called the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And verse 25 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Don't you want to be there? Your house, your life, to be on a place where anything can hit it, but it will not fall. There is only one place you can find that kind of a life, and that's in Jesus Christ alone. Here is a rock. This rock is referred to some sort of a large extension of rock. A bedrock, we would use the term, a bedrock. So while this man is building his house upon the sand, and he's going fast, The house is being built quickly. There is another man who says, no, I must dig deep. I must dig deep. I must dig as much as I can until I get to the bedrock. And then it is, when I have found the rock, then I will build my house upon it. You see, the rock doesn't move. It's unchanging. It is stable. Rock offers a good foundation for a house. And that's what you want. That's what you want for your life, my friends. I would say to you, if your life is what the sand builder is, if it is, that is the description of your life, you must give it up. Stop digging in the sand. Stop it. And if you want a life that is eternal life, a forgiven life, then you must go to the bedrock. Go to the rock, Jesus Christ. That's what you need. You don't need the church to save your soul. You need a person to save your soul, and that's Jesus Christ. I cannot save you. I cannot forgive your sins, but Jesus Christ, He is the only one who has all authority. He is the Son of God, and He died for us. So Jesus Christ is what you need. That rock. The Apostle Peter, he spoke on this. When the Lord Jesus Christ said that, who do men say that I am? Simon Peter, he answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ referred to his testimony and he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, on what you have said, on that very thing, I am Christ, the Son of the living God. I will build my church on that. I will build your life on that. Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ to build your life upon Himself? Then trust in Him. Go to Him today. Everybody builds their house, begin their building their house on the sand, because it's easy, it's quick. But if you become a rock builder, then you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has all power to save your soul. That's what the Bible teaches again and again and again. You hear the words of the Bible and what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and He says to us, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You hear the message of that the Lord Jesus Christ gave and said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, I have to trust in Him. Then you hear the Lord Jesus Christ say to you, even this morning, says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you say, that's me. I must give up then. My sand building. I must go and build my life upon Jesus Christ alone. That's what we have here this morning. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to these people who were hearing Him. There are all kinds of people hearing Him. They had these things in common, but they were actually divided into two. There were sand builders and there were rock builders. How many sand builders are here and how many rock builders are in this congregation? I hope all of us who are sand builders now, you are not sure about your life. You are not sure who God is. You don't know the way of salvation. You would give up this morning and say, Lord, I can't carry on with this. I must find this rock. And Jesus says, I am that rock, rock of salvation. The Apostle Paul says this, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who or what is the foundation of your life then? Who or what are you building on? Are you building your life just to make it through this world and through this life and say, well, I'm just doing my best. What about after this world, after this life? So, and then finally, I want you to think very quickly on consequences of each builder's works. there are consequences. The Lord Jesus Christ was honest with them and said, these builders were building, but there are some consequences on their building work. It speaks about the rain that comes and the floods that flowed and the winds of destruction that blew. The image is about, yes, the daily trials of life, but there is more to it than that. It's speaking about judgment to come. Judgment is called in the scriptures like a whirlwind, like the storm that comes. It's the image of judgment. In the end, both houses were subject to a terrible storm of judgment. One house stood and the other was totally destroyed. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the one that was built upon the sand, and he says that it fell in verse 27. And great was the fall of it. That means that the house was utterly destroyed. There was nothing left to show for the life lived within it. There was nothing left of hopes. Nothing left of the dreams of that individual. Nothing left of the plans and the efforts and the works or anything of that individual. It was all destroyed. It was swept away. It was as if nothing was done. What are you doing for your soul? What are you putting all your hopes in? Your business? Your health? Your children? Your husband? Your wife? Some relationship? Is that what you're putting your hopes in? If I have this, then I will be fulfilled and satisfied and all of my needs will be met. If my child does this, then all my needs will be met. If my health gets better, then all my needs will be met. If I have this amount, if I have this possession. My friends, when the storms come at last on that final day, it will mean nothing to you. Finally. And then the issue will come that all will be dashed. All will fall. Any kind of outward religions, if you're trusting in simply coming to the church here, some sort of outward thing, well, I come to these meetings. I don't just come once on Sunday, I come twice on Sunday. I'm giving my tithes. Maybe some of you children, they are getting some pocket money, or you begin to work somewhere and you say, well, I'll give some tithes to the church. I'll pay this to charity. I will support this society with a few pounds here and there. If you trust in those things, then it will all be dashed into pieces. So the important thing is upon what you are building. Notice the word therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine in verse 24. The word therefore ties in with the previous words, the previous verses, which the Lord Jesus Christ tells of that tragic tale of some very religious people who built their lives on sand. And these people faced God with all their works and with all their self-religious deeds. And they were cast out of God's presence. And there are lots of religious people in this world. So here this morning, I'm giving you a warning. And it's not me giving you a warning. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving you a warning. But also he's giving you all the hope. There's a rock that is there, available for us. There is one who will receive anybody who says, I will give up on my life. I will give up trying to build my life. I will let another build my life. And that is Jesus Christ. And so when the storms come and the wind blows and beat upon my house, and that word beat means to strike, to batter, this house of mine, this soul of mine, this life of mine, one day will be battered. All of you here, myself included, my life will be battered by a storm, a final storm. It will test upon which foundation have I built my life. Will it stand? The only life that will stand is what is found in Jesus Christ. You can join a church. You can do all of these things, be baptized, and still be lost. You can be a good and moral person in the eyes of yourself and the world, but still be lost. And all of these other things. So my friends, everyone in this room, in this building, you're building a spiritual house. Are you building it for eternity? Every day,
You're setting another block. You're driving another nail into the wall. You're adding on rooms. You're trying to improve your house, your soul. Maybe some here have found their house is leaning. Your house is leaning like the Tower of Pisa. And you say, what shall I do? What do I do? Shall I prop it up somehow? Shall I try to straighten it somehow? If you do that, it will be destroyed still. What should you do? You should give up what you are doing. You run out of that building and you go to Jesus Christ. That's what you should do. You give up. There's nothing wrong with that. Every Christian sitting here has come to know that. I was building on sand. I was building on sand of personal goodness and morality, building on sand of religion and false religion, and then realize, but I must give up, and there's a Savior who will receive me, who will accept me when I trust in Him and repent of my sins and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I have been building all these hundreds and thousands of days of my life on things that means nothing. And when the storm comes, I know it is going to be destroyed. But Lord Jesus, receive me. And Lord Jesus Christ is so willing to receive anyone who would come to Him by faith. May we all, boys and girls, young and old, be found today. Even some of us say today, I will leave my sandy house and I go to Jesus Christ. Amen.